Hello and welcome to this edition of Wineskins, a program that features reflections on the lives of the saints and the sacred scriptures, along with information on topics and issues from a Catholic perspective. I'm Father Jim Korda. Wineskins is brought to you by the annual Diocesan Appeal, the Catholic Communication Campaign, and St. Paul's Catholic Books and Gifts, a division of the Society of St. Paul. On our show today, I will interview Socrates Kalitzos. We will also look at the life of St. Damian of Molokai, as well as reflections on the readings for this sixth Sunday of Easter. That and more coming up on Wineskins. In our Bishop's Corner, we will welcome Father Ed Noga. With me is Father Ed Noga, who is retired from St. Patrick Church on the south side of Youngstown. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, you've been part of the faith community on the south side of Youngstown for many years, so you saw lots of things happening, a lot of changes in the neighborhood, not only neighborhoods on the south side, but in the center city itself. What caused you to want to be involved in being an influencer in our communities and in our neighborhoods by getting your community involved with such a group called Action?
Well, I think it doesn't take long to realize, especially when you're in the core part of probably every city, that a lot of change does happen in housing, certainly in businesses, things like gas stations, grocery stores moving further out and further out. But the one mainstay, you could say I'm biased, but the one mainstay is the churches mm-hmm. and the synagogues mm-hmm. and the mosques. Mm-hmm. They're there surrounded by all this sometimes turbulent change, but they're still there. And people come to those sites of worship and they want to be fed and encouraged. And I think, thankfully, there are organizations and groups like the Gamaliel Foundation that helped us start Action in the Youngstown area, now Youngstown-Warren area, that reminds us that if we bring the power that we have of our faith together, appreciate but set aside our denominational differences, mm-hmm. we can really cause some change. A good example might be if, since you're asking, and by the way, ACTION stands for the Alliance for Congregational Transformation in Our Neighborhoods. We had two of our pastors, a Roman Catholic and a Baptist pastor, who had a former, very much used and popular, but kind of passing on of ownership, and then eventually just new owners saying, we're going to not have this business here anymore. We had a funeral home in between two of our parishes in the center city that was kind of let go to the point that it was almost beyond demolition. Mm. And the current owners lived out of town, and as a group of faith people, we marched around that funeral home saying, you know, there are quality of life issues that need to be attended to and sometimes are just forgotten. Well, included in our programming and putting together of this march, we contacted the owners who had, in a sense, long forgotten that they owned a piece of property in Youngstown, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Well, they got on the bandwagon. You know, we challenged them. You know, we weren't taking placards up to their offices and screaming at them, but we challenged them. They became part of the effort, and within 6 months, the funeral home was torn down. Benefited the churches, the neighborhood, and especially the people who have kept their homes up and mm-hmm. felt that things like unused and dilapidated property brings down their property values. Mm-hmm. So Gamaliel and neighborhood organizing tries to work on things that are beneficial for everyone. You find a common cause and stay away from partisan politics, except for asking people to be educated and to be registered. But you find issues like demolition or meeting with police chiefs for more protection or for more surveillance in high drug traffic areas. And when you have neighbors helping with that, I remember when we did some marches on the Lower South Side, there was a little workshop for the neighbors of how to call in license plates that seem suspicious all the times, and also to let people know that given where we're at in society, because you call something in to the police station doesn't mean it's going to be responded to. Mm-hmm. But collectively, they keep track of all those things. That's part of their mm-hmm. surveillance. Mm-hmm. So people felt they had a part in the change. And when you mm-hmm. give people a role to play, they're going to connect better.
In our last few minutes of our time together, I want to go back to something you said, that churches basically are kind of like an oasis in a desert, let's say. But once we come to church or come to synagogue or come to the temple and we leave that place, we have to remember what we heard there. Why is it important for us to take that news and that sense of community and being a neighbor outside of those buildings?
One of professors I had in the seminary, Father Jim McWilliams, way back when, who taught us pastoral theology, goes, gentlemen, you have to do all you can do to make sure that liturgy in our Roman Catholic tradition is vibrant, speaks to people. He said, but part of the reminding of them and challenging them is that they become the church in their home, their workplace, and their neighborhood. Again, very nice and poetic, but it's true. If we just have a, in a sense, good time on Sunday morning or Saturday afternoon and say, boy, that was great, but it doesn't carry over, then what are we really doing?
That's wisdom and good news, and we appreciate that coming from you, Father Adnoga, retired pastor of St. Patrick's Church on the South Side. Over the years, have done many things, not only for our local community, but to enlighten us on issues that we can, together as people of faith, work on and meet those issues, but also enlighten others along the way. So thank you for your work, for your ministry, and for your vocation.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being here.
For Wineskins, I'm Father Jim Korda. The church celebrates a feast of Damien of Molokai on Friday. To tell us more is Dee Tripp. She is from St. James Church in North Jackson.
When Joseph de Veuster was born, few people in Europe had any firsthand knowledge of leprosy. By the time he died at the age of 49, people all over the world knew about this disease because of him. They knew that human compassion could soften the ravages of this disease. The leper priest, the hero of Molokai, was born in Belgium on January 3, 1840. In 1860, he entered the Congregation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary, taking the name of the 4th century physician and martyr. When his brother, a priest of the same congregation, fell ill and was unable to go to the Hawaiian Islands as assigned, Damien quickly volunteered in his place. In May of 1864, 2 months after arriving in his new mission, Damien was ordained a priest in Honolulu and assigned to the island of Hawaii. For the next 9 years, he worked in mission on the big island of Hawaii. In 1873, after volunteering for the assignment, he went to the leper colony of Molokai, which was set up 7 years earlier. In time, he became their most effective advocate to obtain promised government support. Soon, the settlement had new houses and a new church, school, and orphanage. Morale improved considerably. A few years later, he succeeded in getting the Franciscan Sisters of Syracuse, led by Mother Marianne Cope, to help staff this colony in Molokai. At his canonization, Pope Emeritus Benedict said, "Not without fear and loathing, Father Damien made the choice to go on the island of Molokai in the service of lepers who were there, abandoned by all. So he exposed himself to the disease of which he suffered. The servant of the word became a suffering servant, leper with the lepers, during the last 4 years of his life. Damien cared for lepers of all ages, but was particularly concerned about the children segregated in the colony. He announced he was a leper in 1885 and continued to build hospitals, clinics, churches, and some 600 coffins. He died on April 15, 1888 on Molokai. As requested, he was buried there, but in 1936, the Belgian government succeeded in having his body moved to Belgium. Part of Damien's body was returned to his beloved Hawaiian brothers and sisters after his beatification in 1995. When Hawaii became a state in 1959, it selected Damien as one of its 2 representatives in the statutory hall at the U.S. Capitol. He was declared venerable in 1977. Pope St. John Paul II declared him beatified on June 4th, 1995. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI declared him a saint on October 11th of 2009 in the presence of King Albert II of the Belgians and Queen Paola, as well as the Belgian Prime Minister and several cabinet members. Some people thought Damien was a hero for going to Molokai, and others thought he was crazy. To follow Christ, Damien not only left his homeland, but also staked his health so that he might receive eternal life. Damien's symbols are a tree and a dove. In Damien's role as unofficial patron of those with HIV and AIDS, the world's only Roman Catholic memorial chapel to those who have died of this disease at Montreal, Quebec, is consecrated to him. The opening prayer of the Mass says, God our Father, in Saint Damien of Molokai, you gave a light to your faithful people. You made him a pastor of the church to feed your sheep with his word and to teach them by his example. Help us by his prayers to keep the faith he taught and follow the way of life he showed. For Wineskins, I'm Dee Tripp.
With me again is Socrates Kalitzos. Welcome back to our show.
Nice to be here.
You know, several months ago, we had the great opportunity to talk about Orthodox Christmas. Now we're going to talk about Orthodox Easter. Let me say, Christos Aneste ek nekron, Christ is risen from the dead. I know there's more to the phrase, but
Alithos Aneste, yeah, he is truly risen.
It's beautiful. And I always remember that. I go back to my days in the seminary, where your brother, God rest his soul, was a seminarian a year ahead of me. And I remember some of us going to the Greek Orthodox celebration of Easter. And it was a long ceremony. It was almost like 3 hours, but it was truly beautiful, truly wonderful, and mysterious. There was just something about it. But I remember hearing that phrase over and over again, and how important that is, that Christ is truly risen, and how important it is to our faith that we worship someone who is truly alive.
There's no question about it that he is alive, and he is alive in us. And without him being alive and actually being a part of us, it's hard to admit we are nothing. Mm-hmm. It's exactly. All about God. And the Lord. And I pray that we all fall on the road that he wants us to be in and do and become and say everything that pleases him. That's one thing I do. I start every day off thanking him for the new day to serve him.
And one of the things that I know that you're very involved with is the St. John Chrysostom Society. And that is something that is really near and dear to our hearts as Catholics as well. It's a wonderful ecumenical gathering of people of faith to talk about what we believe in together. What do we share in common? And how can we better work together so that at some point we may all be one? Talk about your experience in the St. John Chrysostom Society.
I've been a member for many years, and I was president for three. The organization, in my opinion, is a great Christian unity organization that basically allows us to express how we look at church and what we believe in and how much commonality we have, and even our differences are very little. But the idea that God asked us to love one another is easy if you take that road and love one another and look at each other as members of one family, mm-hmm. God's family. Are we always going to be pleased? No, I'm sure not everyone's pleased with me. Mm-hmm. I may not have smiled when they wanted me to smile, whatever it be. But the important thing is the St. John Chrysostom organization allows us to love and respect each other.
And let's talk a little bit more about Easter and what a great celebration it is. We know for us as Catholics that it extends over 6-7 weeks and finds its culmination in Pentecost. Obviously, it's the same in the Orthodox
exactly.
community. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, again, in preparing for Easter and then Easter arriving, after all those days of fasting, almsgiving, attending church services, let's call them even special church services, above and beyond what we normally may have gone to. And then the culmination on Easter, in our particular local church, it's been a midnight mass or service. We get together after to break the fast. During that night, we don't get out of there until 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. But I find it as a wonderful tradition. And then obviously you're, again, moving towards Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is sent down upon them all. It is a long period, but it's a very important period because I can't think of too many people that would give up their life for others. You can say you'll do it. Mm-hmm. Is it that easy? I don't think so. But here's somebody who honored God's wish, his Father's wish, and he truly suffered. I have an icon that's over my car that my brother gave me, and I never saw that before, how badly bruised and slashed our Lord was while he was on that cross. It's inhuman. And then there's something that stands out in my mind, something that I saw, and you have a word for it, where the mother of Christ receives her son.
The Pietà.
That's it. I couldn't think of it. And I believe it's still inside St. Cyril and Methodius Church. As soon as you walk in, there it was. Can you imagine being the mother to see her son suffer like this? And this was all done for us.
It's very humbling, to say the least. And for us to understand that fully and to embody that and then to share that with others in the way we treat people, in the way that we speak to others, in the way that we live our lives is really crucial, I think, especially in this day and age that we find ourselves living in a rather complex and complexing world. What would you like to share with the folks that are with us, especially about the celebration of the Orthodox community and its ecumenical awareness and need and attitude with other faiths?
I believe that the Orthodox faith respects all faiths, but recognizes that of all the faiths that exist that I'm aware of, the Catholic Church is the closest to us. That's truly our sister church, and we should be together, and I pray that it does occur in my lifetime. I guess the easy way to end the talk about Easter is for me to say, Christos Anesti, God is risen, and he has truly arisen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Socrates Kalitsos, thank you so much for your presence on our show. We thank you for sharing your traditions, your faith with us, but also being the person that you are.
Thank you.
For Wineskins, I'm Father Jim Korda. For more information and to listen to Wineskins, visit the website catholicecho.org. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Did you know that the Catholic Echo magazine is delivered 10 times per year to 52,000 Catholic households in northeastern Ohio? That's more than 150,000 people. And the Catholic Echo website, catholicecho.org, has been averaging 30,000 views per month since it launched in February 2023. Advertise your business, special event, or service with the Catholic Echo in print or online. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org. Advertising discounts are available for Catholic institutions as well as for businesses that commit to 5 or 10 issues in a year. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org or visit the advertising tab at catholicecho.org for more information.
Wondering what happened to timely Catholic news in the Diocese of Youngstown? It's at catholicecho.org. There you'll find recent stories about Catholic life in all 6 counties of the Diocese of Youngstown, plus recent videos, podcasts, and even national and global news. You'll find it all at catholicecho.org. Sign up for the email newsletter while you're there to have Catholic news delivered to your inbox.
The song we have for you today is from the CD entitled Ave Maria. Mm-hmm.
O Mary, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweets, our hope, to you do we cry, to you we send up our sighs. O Mary, Queen of Heaven, we pray and we turn to you. Reign over us, help us live in your love. Let us sing Ave, all generations sing Ave. Such a great test to be mother of our Savior's birth. Show us the way, help us keep peace on earth. Oh, gracious Lady, we implore you, stay by our side. Both in our joy and in our despair. Let us sing Ave, all generations sing Ave.
To tell us more about the Sacred Scriptures for this sixth Sunday of Easter is Father Ryan Furlong. He is pastor of St. Thomas the Apostle in Vienna, St. Robert in Cortland, and St. William in Champion.
Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment, a new way of loving and serving one another. Jesus' love was wholly directed toward the good of others. He loved them for the sake of their welfare. That is why he willingly laid down his own life for us to free us from sin, to free us from death and fear, and everything that could separate us from the love of God. Our love for God and our willingness to lay down our life for others is a response to the great love that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he gives us this command to love one another. Let us love one another by seeing Christ in others, in the poor, in the sick, in the lonely, and in those who are in need. Let us see the face of Jesus in all we encounter, to live the commandments, to live a life of a disciple. We must continually love. We must love ourselves, we must love others, and we must love God. God loves us and wants to share that love with everyone. That is why he created us. Let us listen to the words of Jesus and love others. For Wineskins, this is Father Ryan Furlong.
Jesus taught us that love was a matter of the will. It is not a feeling, it is a choice, a daily choice. Love one another as I have loved you was his command. It is simply a matter of letting the grace of God that comes to us to pass through us on its way to someone else. Wineskins is made possible by the annual Diocesan Appeal, the Catholic Communication Campaign, and St. Paul's Catholic Books and Gifts. Wineskins is produced by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Youngstown. I'm Father Jim Korda, thanking you for being with us. Have a blessed Sunday. And we of Wineskins want to wish a happy and blessed Easter to our sisters and brothers of the Orthodox Church.
What have you done for your marriage today?
I gave my wife a hug this morning. I told her I love her.
I did her hair this morning. I think it looks pretty good.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
I bought her an orchid.
What have I done for my marriage today? I sent my husband a love email.
I read the newspaper to my wife, and it cracked her up. But she's still laughing.
What have you done for your marriage today? Make a change for the better. Need help? Go to foryourmarriage.org, a message from the Catholic Church.
They say America is the land of opportunity, but for some, life isn't so easy. Right now in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. That's nearly 13 million children of all races, all across our country. Where do you draw the line and get involved? You can make a difference in more ways than you think. Go to povertyusa.org today, because 1 in 6 children in poverty is one too many. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.